Hey everyone, welcome to episode 45 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. This is our first podcast of 2021, and I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing great. New year, new episode. We're here.
Same old us. We're both because it is our first episode of 2021. We decided to mix up a couple drinks on the rocks ourselves. You want to tell us what you're drinking today? It looks like it's in a nice little wine glass there.
We're toasting. It's again a new year, new drink. This is the lemon drop martini. Googled it 20 minutes ago, made it delish.
What's in there? I assume some lemon in there. Is that like a lemon juice? A fresh lemon?
It is a lemon vodka.
Nice.
Neither, actually. Those would have been way better. Lemon vodka, vermouth, ice, and a bit of water, because I'm not alcoholic yet.
Yeah, you got to mix in a little water there. I've got a little take on a sangria. I've got some red, some white wine in there. Got some nice mandarin oranges. You can see them floating in there. And then I threw in some bubbly, like not bubbly as in champagne, Ooh. Like some sparkling water, and then a little splash of OJ. And it's like, it's split. The colors, like half's yellow, half's red. But it's pretty visually pleasing, if you ask me.
I was going to say it was impressive the way you did that. Did you use the spoon? Did you do the spoon technique?
No, it was all natural. I think it's just the mixture between the ice, and there's a bit of a wall created, and then the two alcohols disperse the wines, and then I threw a little that whiskey in there, went right to the bottom, so that'll be a nice finish to the drink.
Both watered too. I'm glad we both took waters.
I know it's well. I'm trying to get into this bubbly. I'm admittedly not a sparkling water guy. But I've been drinking a lot of pop lately, and I don't want to drink as much pop. So I'm going to see if, I don't know if this bubbly is even good for you. It seems like it is.
So, I just took a Tylenol PM, so I need to put water in mine.
Attaboy. Can't wash it down.
Destroying my liver like that.
Exactly.
For health.
So how was your crazy Christmas this year? Did it go,
crazy Christmas.
Go as planned?
Yeah, I think as good as it could go under circumstances. I think it was nice. I was relaxing. I was enjoying family time. The good thing about being up there. Yeah, no, that's the good thing about being up there is that's all we had. We have one DVD player. We don't even have the remote for it. So I had to keep getting up and hitting every button. But that's like the one thing we brought up was like six different movies. So we enjoyed like a good amount. Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, Night Before Christmas. If it has Christmas, I watched it.
I love that it's on the DVD too. Like, at least it wasn't the VHS tape. I don't know how those would work, but
well, we have the VCR up there too. So VCR, we just don't have any VCR tapes.
Yeah, I think we just got rid. I used to have all of them, like all the ones you could think of, like all the classic cartoons. But I think we got rid of them recently, actually, because it would just like there were so many, and it's like, why do you need this many things that you're never gonna use, and you can just watch on Disney Plus? So I think we sadly got rid of them, the tapes.
I know it's so sad because you just want to throw something on, but then you're like, oh, then I have to find the remotes, the fucking discs, and then someone just tells you they're all in Disney Plus. And you're like,
I know. Well, now you gotta but your cottage is the perfect example of why you still need those, though. If you don't have the good Wi-Fi up there, what are you going to do? You can't throw on the streaming.
What is there to do?
No, it's nice. Play some cards. Old traditional, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to watch that Christmas movie, you need to use those CDs.
That's one thing I do like about being up there is I'm just, my screen time is like, where'd you go? It's like, you haven't been on TikTok in 12 hours. Are you okay?
It's crazy to think that a TikTok can't load though. Like it seems like the smallest amount of media. I know it's constant, but yeah, that's crazy.
It's nice though. It's cleansing.
I didn't do too much either. Christmas, we just kind of relaxed. We had a good dinner, ate some seafood the night before. Really fun Christmas.
Nice Christmas.
New Year's was fun too. We didn't do anything again, but we did do a specialty drink. Like my girlfriend, my mom, my sister, my dad he's more of a beer guy, so he didn't do the specialty drinks, but each of us made a secret drink like we didn't tell each other before. So it was kind of like those things you see on TikTok with the rooms, except we didn't do the rooms. We just went and made it in the kitchen and brought it in. And there was a hockey game that night. So like before the game, and then at each of the intermissions, and then after we had it during. So it was actually pretty fun, and it added some sort of change of pace to the night rather than just sitting in front of the TV. So that was probably, and I mean, met the theme on the rocks. Should have got some pictures of them, put it on our new TikTok.
Yeah, that would have been funny. Except one person probably got out cool, and then they're just wasted on the couch, just plastered. <Yeah. You're> like,
well, there were a couple of them where I was like, "That's got a bit of a gur." Like, I know my sister made a bit of a. She likes a peach schnapps, so she made a smoothie or a slushie to start, and then Maria or my mom went, I think, next, and she did like an. Ice cream type bubble gum with a lot of vodka in there. I was like, Mom, that's got a lot in little sprinkles, but it was so tasty. It was really good. Maria made a good, really good sangria with some fruits. And then I finished it off with a little apple whiskey drink with a little caramel drizzled on the top. So
no way. I've
been on a bit of a heater, yeah, recently with the specialty drinks.
With the bartender. I don't like when other people make me drinks. They paranoid me out because I'm like, how much did you put it? How many shots is in this? And then sometimes they're like, two. And I'm like, why'd you have to hesitate? Every time I make a drink, I know how much is going in.
It depends so who it is. Like, I trust my sister and my mom because I'm pretty sure they'd admit that I could probably keep it going and with them alongside them. So I don't think, unless my sister is maybe trying to spike my drinks to make me stumble around, put an extra double shot in mine, but no, I don't think there were two. I mean, I'll admit though, no matter who you are, you have four mixed drinks in a span of a couple hours. Like that's going to get you going. So we were having some fun by the time we threw on Dick Clark and started watching that special. I heard the Carson or the CNN one was really good too.
I was on the CNN one, not physically, but I was watching it.
Mentally.
And I was enjoying it. Mentally, I was there. Mentally, they weren't there. They were fucking on another level that night. It was weird. I apparently, that's a thing. They just take shots throughout the night. And the whole joke is to get Anderson just drunk. That's the whole thing. Andy Cohen just makes it a mission to get him fucked up. I didn't know it was a thing either. But it was entertaining as fuck.
It's funny because my sister's like, I'm not watching. I don't want to watch CNN on New Year's Eve. And I was like, that's kind of right. Like,
that's what I was thinking.
It doesn't seem like there'd be much fun happening ever on CNN. So when we turned it on right at the end, I think you were texting me actually. You're like, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I
saw it was some insane. Things on Twitter.
So we watched the last little bit and they were juiced at the end.
It was insane. They were just laughing at anything. You could have gone up there and just like farted on the mic and Andy Cohen would have had an aneurysm of a laugh. Yeah. It was insane. But they were just like, yeah, they were just taking shots, talking about mushrooms, talking about like absinthe and like all these like weird drugs and such. And like, I'm not too well versed in Andy Cohen. I only know Anderson Cooper through the news, but I don't know what this guy, I guess they're friends. So he hops on this, a CNN broadcast with them. I don't know, man. It's entertaining though. I thought it was funny. And I only originally wanted to watch it because I just saw in the information on TV that John Mayer was on there. And I was like, okay, I like John Mayer. I'll watch this. And it ended up being, in my opinion, the superior broadcast.
Oh yeah, like we still enjoyed the Dick Clark special, which is always we were flipping back. Like I remember watching, but yeah, eventually some of the acts, but they had some big names too. So
they easily had the bigger names. Like it was insane what they had.
You don't sit there all night watching it, anyways. So we got the charcuterie board out, and
it's in the background until
the ball. For us,
it was just in the background until something crazy fucking happened.
The ball dropped and it was pretty nonchalant this year because no one was there, but that's okay.
Did you see what happened?
Wait, where? What?
I forget what broadcast. It might have been, it's either ABC or Fox, but they missed it.
Really?
They didn't get the ball drop. Yeah, they didn't get it. Yeah, they missed it. Like, well, they didn't get the right camera shot. They didn't get the right camera shot at one point, and then all of a sudden it just like went, and the host didn't even know. They were still on live at 12. And like usually they cut to it, and they didn't cut to it, so it was just like the host doing filler.
Oh, that
feels like how I used to talk. It feels like how I used to talk in the earlier episodes of all this, like just shooting out bullshit until you form a coherent sentence. But it was insane. Like I don't know how you miss it. I don't know who gets fired, who gets yelled at for that. But it was hilarious. You couldn't.
That is wild because. Although it isn't as good this year without people there, it is still everyone's waiting for it. So that's hilarious. I got to search that clip after.
It's hilarious.
I had some, I'll admit, like some wicked Sunday scaries, because I had about 13 days off or 14 days of work. So when I went back, I was like, because even at work, we were talking about it. We were like, usually you go back in the office and for a couple days, you're like talking about what everyone did during the holidays. Everyone still kind of got that holiday spirit going. But this is just like, you go over to your desk and you're back to work. So I had some wicked.
You're on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel better now.
No one has filters on.
It's only been a couple days, so we're back in the thick of things and feeling good now. So that's good. It was good holidays overall. Sadly, the holidays ended with a World Junior loss by Team Canada last night. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I caught most of it until it just got sad. And maybe like until I think I turned it on. I missed the first period, watched the full second, and then just got 5 minutes left in the third. And I was just like, I can't watch this right now. I don't know. Even unless there was like a monumental comeback that I saw on Twitter. That's the only thing that could have maybe got me back. But even if they got one goal, I don't think I would have turned that back on. You just kind of knew. It was one of those games that you just ran into a goalie that you just can't beat that night. And that's just how it felt. I don't know. It was a weird feeling.
Yeah, like it's funny because I would say that my take on the tournament is Canada had one of the deepest teams they've ever had, like all first round picks. It was insane. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have a star. They didn't have a McDavid. They didn't have a Lafreniere. They didn't have a Sid the Kid. They didn't have a Tavares, which means a lot. Like even though it's like high level of all these great players, you still want to have that guy that every time they step on the ice, there's going to be a problem. And I would argue that in the final game, although Cousins played really well, he had a couple guys like supporting him, like McMichael. In the end, it was like the American Zegras who was that player who stepped on the ice. And yeah, you were worried every time he did. And that's, to me, was what kind of iced the tournament. Like 2-0 loss, I believe it was in the end, unless they scored an empty netter.
I believe it was 2-0.
Yeah, so that's what happened. I thought if they won this game, especially if they won it in a shutout, like a 1-0, that was probably going to be one of the most dominant sporting teams that Canada's ever put out at the World Juniors, because I don't think they've ever run the table and just dominated so many teams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about...
That's what I kept hearing.
Yeah. What do you think about...
It was about just the lack of... Yeah.
What about them beating Germany, say, 16-2? I know U.S. outshot teams almost like 70-10. Does that like delegitimize the tournament to you? Because I was actually talking about it at work today. So I wasn't talking about it. I had my mouth zipped shut because I really like the World Juniors, but some guy was like,
yes,
no legitimacy to the World Juniors at all. It's just a bunch of kids. And like, let's wait for the Olympics, right? That, because it's a typical thing for a Canadian to say after they lose.
Yeah, no. I kind of have a couple counterpoints to that, I guess. I'm not like the biggest juniors fan, so I'm maybe not the best person to ask. But when you ask me about like my favorite junior memories, some of them are that Slovenian goalie that was just lights out that one game against Canada. I can't remember the name. He had a good name though. He had a great goalie name.
It was Dennis Godlin, I think his name was.
Yeah, Godlin. Yeah, yeah. You're Godlin. Yeah. Yes, that's like something I just remember that name. I remember him just making these crazy saves, and that wouldn't happen if the team like that wasn't in there. So, and then I guess if you're gonna say the Germany has good players on it, I think it was just a lack of. I think it was just an outclassing more. I don't think Canada is gonna keep putting out these powerhouse teams kind of like this every year. I think this is just like one of those years where it just so happens Canada is a little.
You can chalk that.
Canada's going to be loaded, and USA is going to be loaded a lot. But
Germany had like
eight exactly. Like they lost a lot, so I
they almost beat.
Yeah,
almost beat.
So maybe this isn't the best year to cut people. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you look, Russia beat USA, so that puts a legitimate team. Finland's always going to put out a competitive team. Sweden's always going to have a competitive team. Even if it isn't this year, they've had success before, and you can't just cut these people out because of that. So I could see why you wouldn't want like Austria, maybe, because they're just going to get dummied every time. But I don't know. You got to let these kids play. Like they're legitimate players, and they're in the tournament, so you got to give them respect.
Yeah. And I love all the Canadians fans with the absolute spin zone about how it was like the most dominant like performance in hockey ever. And then as soon as they lose, it's like, this tournament is not legit, like, blah, blah, blah. But I also love that the Americans have beat Canada like three straight or four straight finals or something like that. I think it was four.
Exactly.
But, like,
have we ever beat them in a gold medal?
I don't know. But the reason why is because we beat them in like semifinal games before that. So I just find that, yes. I find that it's been so unfunny as well. But yeah, I really like Byram. He was dominant. Can't believe he's going to Colorado as if they need another stud defenseman.
I know.
Byfield impressed me. Second overall pick.
Byfield was really good.
I was chirping him after the first couple games. And like, I just had this perception of him from, I guess, when I was watching junior hockey a lot more, that he wasn't as like, he's not snazzy, but he put on some weight and he looked dominant out there. When he fills into his body and figures it out, he's going to be really good. But I was chirping on the first couple games.
He was throwing the body.
Yeah. No, he's going to be a really good, really good player. I like Levi, the goalie, probably one of the most solid goalies
since. Yeah.
As long as I can remember. Like, I don't remember ever goalie playing.
Great team in front of him, but he was consistent.
Yeah.
Like, you got to stop shots, and that's what he did. He stopped shots. Like, I mean, you can't, like, if you put, it's not like you could throw anyone behind that team and they'll do good. Like, it's a goalie. Like, it's probably the most important part of the team.
Usually for goalies, if you're not getting a lot of shots, it's a lot easier to let, like, one or two weak ones in, right? You're not as warm. But he had three shutouts in the tournament, so he's not giving up any shitty goals. I know.
Going into the game, he had like less than a one goals against.
Yeah, no, it was insane. Actually hoping he almost got that record there. And it was a Czech goalie, I think.
Yeah.
Seven games, he was going for that record as well. Yeah, so that sucked. But you know what? There's always next year. Like, they finished second. They can't win every year. They won last year. Let's hope they win next year. When some of these guys.
Well, that's just the beauty of it. Like, you know, we're going to, it's not like, if Austria has a huge run in the tournament and they're like, this is insane, they get to the gold medal game, you're kind of in the back of your head going, next year, we're not really going to be here anymore. With Canada, we're pretty much going to get a medal. Maybe that does add to the illegitimacy of it now, but I mean, they're just always going to be a competitive team against it. Like, yeah, I think there's always luck next year. So no, it's not hard to be negative about it.
It was nice to have hockey on because it was like 6 o'clock. You throw the hockey on after dinner, and then I don't know. It's just nice to sit around with the family, get the jerseys on. We had our Budweiser red light going too, so it was fun. But would have been nice if they capped off with a W. But like I said, you can't win every year. What else have you been watching over the last couple weeks over the holiday season, other than Christmas movies and the World Juniors?
Big one for me is Queen's Gambit.
Really?
Into that yet?
I have not. My family says I should. My sister, my mom.
You should.
It doesn't jump into me, but I've heard it's unbelievable. The topic to me.
It is, but it's worth it. Like,
why? Give me a 20 second spiel, like advertising ploy to get me to watch it.
That's going to be a tough one, but I've essentially seen three episodes so far, and I would say I'm a pretty big chess fan. Like, I'm a fan of the game. I've watched it competitively. So this show is kind of more up my alley. I don't know, this just has a good slow burn. It kind of feels like a Better Call Saul almost. Like, it's got a lot of character work and a lot of building towards it. I would say it's on level of the writing of like a Vince Gilligan show, like a Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad.
I might have to give it a listen. I don't know. I'll see.
I think it spent the most time on the Netflix top 10 as well, ever.
Is it still? It's not number one anymore, is it?
It is. No, not anymore, but it's been in the top 10 since it dropped.
Wow, that's insane.
That is insane. That's an insane stat, I feel. I think it went up. It was at 10 the other day, and I checked today, and it was at 9. So it keeps going up somehow.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll leave.
Some staying power there.
Maybe the algorithm's just fucked, but it won't leave.
And you watched The Wild as well. What did you think about that?
I knew you wanted to get into that.
2 days, yeah.
So did I. I downloaded it and watched it over the break up there. So I was more glued to it than I should have been. I thought it was really cool. It's definitely not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was like an old Disney show. It's called Flight 29 Down. I think it starred Corbin Blue. And it was essentially a group of kids that get stranded on an island after a plane crash. And I thought that's literally what it was going to be, but with like heavier drama. But no, and I guess that is kind of what it is.
But there's some demons.
And that is at the end of the day what it is. But yeah, there's some weird backstories and there's weird like plot twists and the weird things I just wasn't expecting. So I don't know if that's sitting well with me yet or not, because I kind of wanted it to be the Flight 29 town.
I really liked it.
And I don't know. This is a good take on it.
You're talking about character development. Like, that's mm-hmm. got some good character development. Like, I would all their backstories. And the best part of the show is, we were talking about this earlier, a lot of these shows that look back in time, like the This Is Us's, like the Haunting of Hill House. No, sorry. Haunting of Bly Manor.
Bly Manor.
You get lost in it and it's almost confusing. You're like, what time period are we in? Like, you just get lost in your head because there's too much going on. This is perfect. Like, you knew when was the past easily because they weren't on the island. So it was very easy to go back between time periods. So I just found that it was just a very nice presentation of a show. And I mean, it's not a new idea either way. Like, I would say it's kind of a combination of Lost and like the Hunger Games almost, without ruining most of the plot. But if you've watched it, you can kind of see.
Yes.
It is the Lost is what's actually happened to them. And then the reason it is happening to them is kind of similar to the plot of like the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of sheets getting pulled off.
Yeah.
Of like the reveals, kind of like the curtains get opened up kind of type show.
Yeah.
And I am a fan of that. Those two things are, yeah, that's a really good two comparisons, I think, for it.
Right off the dome too.
Yeah. Even more impressive. Yeah, I know. There's just a lot of insane things in that show. I just remember thinking, like, I was like, there's no way it'll go there. And then it went there. and then there was just like a lot. It's hard not to spoil this.
Like, they had to put some things on screen to, like, warn the viewers. Like, it was, some of it was quite disturbing. Obviously, very, like, pressing topics nowadays. So it was very good. I like the show. And I definitely, it's not, I would say that if you look at the show from an outside perspective, I maybe wouldn't have watched it. My sister said a couple of times, this looks good. We watched it and I'm so glad we did. It was an awesome show. The characters are all very captivating. Like, I don't think any of them are boring per se. Like, usually I don't love any of the characters at the beginning, but by the end I was like, these characters are all pretty cool. And they, like, after you hear their backstory and just their, I don't know if it was even acting, like they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, would you say there was great acting? Yeah. They were just good characters.
No, it was weird. I think it's because they're all just so unknown. So it doesn't really feel like like an actor playing a role. It just felt like kids on this island. And like,
very true.
And it's not really until you get into deeper into the show, you start realizing like all these different kind of elements and different dynamics the characters can have. So I think that's a really cool way of, I don't know if it was a choice or if it was just like such a low, like a budget decision that they didn't have big actors on this, but I think it really serves it well to not have anyone. Cause I don't think I know anyone in the show at all. Like any character.
No. I think I recognize the, like, Gretchen, I think her name is. I think I recognize her, but none of the other characters, I don't think I recognize. Yeah, check it out on Amazon Prime, called The Wild. It's a very good show. And I think they've already renewed for season 2. Don't want to spoil the ending, but you know there's going to be a season 2 after.
You can't have an ending like that and then just not get picked up. They must have had a deal.
I got two other shows that tomorrow, new season of Hell's Kitchen comes out. Really pumped for that. Sure. Not going to talk about it, but I'm excited to see a season with, like, nice HD TV, like, don't have to watch like the old season from like 2002, probably. I don't know how long, probably not that long, 2010.
Wait, what's different about this?
Oh, it's just a new season. It's like live.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because they have like 20 season on Amazon.
Yes.
I've been going back and watching all the old seasons just because I like the show. But now it's like we got a new one and it's like perfect, pristine content, very relatable.
Yes, HD.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've been watching is Formula One Drive to Survive. I used to hate, like, NASCAR is like, would never watch. I'd rather just sit there and watch NASCAR. But this Formula One show has me engaged. It's on Netflix. Formula One Drive to Survive got 2 seasons.
You know, like, turning left.
It's old. It's not new. Like, People have talked about this show being good for a long time, but I finally got into it. There's
yeah, we
so
have
many
a mutual that's been talking about it.
Who? Brando?
Yeah, he's a big Formula One guy.
No, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he's been talking about the show, but he's been talking about Formula One forever.
Yeah, he brought it up and it helped him with one of our trivia questions the other night.
It did.
Yeah. I know, there's just so many characters in it. Like, there's rivalries between teams, like Red Bull, Force India, like all their teammates hate each other because, and they're like running
they
into
hate,
each other
like,
on the track.
Hate like?
It's well.
Would you say it's like a Calgary Edmonton?
Well, it's different
like
because
it's on site.
They should be on the same team, right? Like that would be like saying like one player on Calgary doesn't like it's like two guys are fighting for the fourth line spot.
Oh, they're on the same team and they hate each other.
So like Red Bull, for example, they have two racers, two racing seats. And if one guy is not performing or one guy is not getting enough love, I guess you could say per se, like he doesn't think he's famous enough, he might go and leave for another team. Or they'll cut him. For example, like if it's a lower team and this guy's just not good anymore, they might want to cut him and bring somebody else in. Or especially if it's a Red Bull or a Ferrari, the top teams, they're not going to keep a guy around who's not performing, right? Because they have so much money and they're putting so much money into the cars. It's good.
Kind of like it's.
Go ahead.
It's kind of like soccer, then, kind of like what's that one league where if like you don't win, you get cut. Like
yeah,
if the team just sucks, they get they get really. It's kind of like that. Oh, though that's demoralizing. I imagine if the NHL was just like, sorry, Vegas, you're not cutting it. We're gonna bring Seattle in now. It's like
It's crazy. Okay. I don't know exact numbers, but I know it's like two drivers per team. And I want to say there's like 12 teams. I could be wrong. Maybe there's more. But that's still, say there's 20 teams, that's only 40 athletes in the sport for a season. So
I think I'm going to check this out. I've been meaning to.
Yeah, it's very good.
Like definitely now.
There's like this guy named Vijay Mallya or something. I can't pronounce his name. I should remember. I searched it up and he's like Force India. I don't want to spoil what happens to him, but like the guy's like in a ton of like corruption problems back home. So he's come to England and kind of gotten out, but he loves the racing. So he like created this racing company, but guy's a character.
I agree. I only know one F1 and it's Lewis.
Yeah.
Is he in it much?
So he's in it because he's usually winning. Like they just show.
I was gonna say he's like the guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I don't know if they're saving like the Ferrari and then and then Lewis Hamilton and like Vettel is huge as well. I don't know if they're saving their episodes for the last of the season because it's like based on points, right? You get more points as you progress, so maybe they'll have like the winners at the end. Is what I'm thinking. But I got a couple. I'm only on season one. I got a couple episodes left.
Yeah, I gotta check this out. Formula One's like it's not like NASCAR, right? Like you're not just turning. Like with this one, you gotta like kind of swerve. You're drifting a little bit. Like you gotta. I know you do that NASCAR probably. I just don't know NASCAR at all.
No, it's
but the courses are weird. They're like zigzaggy, right?
Yeah, and it's in like town, like
I like that
cities, like
yeah,
a whole bunch.
That's
of
what's
like,
cool about it.
I it's just so beautiful. Some of them are look kind of like standard racetracks, but some of them are like the one, I can't remember if it was the French one or if it was one in Italy. One of them was like just going through like the town. It looks just really cool. Yeah, I would definitely check it out.
No, I definitely think I will. That sounds cool.
We talked a little TV. Do you want to get into the main event of our podcast today?
Yeah, absolutely.
So being the first episode of 2021, we want to spend a little time to look back on 2020. Obviously, wasn't everyone's favorite year on the calendar when they're looking back, but still, nonetheless, I think it was a learning year for a lot of people. And I think if we didn't talk about it, then I don't know, it'd just be kind of pushing it away. So what we want to do is do a quick recap, the highs, the lows, the mediums, the semi-mediums of 2020, and then we're going to end it off with our Talk on the Rocks awards. We'll get into that after a couple different categories, and we're going to vote who we think wins each of them. So let's start out with sports in 2020. Bit of a weird year, a lot of bubbles to finalize. Teams, we had, so before the bubble, we had a clean Super Bowl. Chiefs won the Super Bowl, my favorite team. Cheered for them forever. Happy about that. We had that J-Lo and Shakira performance on the stage. Everything
been fans seemed, of them forever too.
Yeah, it seemed like normal. I guess that was probably February we had that Super Bowl. Everyone, I just imagine everyone filled the stands, everyone cheering, watching that. And then
that's
a month
what's
later,
the craziest part. It's the same year almost.
Exactly. Like it doesn't seem like it. But yeah, that Super Bowl was not long ago at all. And then I guess your Lakers won in the NBA bubble and the Lightning
also
won in the NHL
been watching
bubble.
Them forever.
Watched hockey outside, all the playoffs outside, sitting in my like driveway with the TV outside, neighbor sitting on his driveway, like the weirdest year ever watching hockey and watching some NBA, but definitely a memorable one. Like I think back where I was, I remember where I was for the, when the Raptors won the championship. Cause I went to Florida. So I watched some games with Maria and her dad and her brother in Florida during the Bucks series. And then I remember the final night when I watched all the games with my family at home. And then we ran out to Frosty's. Like, I'll remember that for forever.
Jesus. I know. But that was too fun.
I feel like I'll remember this year too. Like Leafs playing Columbus and then us playing, like losing to Boston, even though we lost. It's just such a memorable way to watch. I don't know. Maybe you don't have the same experience, but for me, like definitely going to be the second most memorable unless they win a chance.
Really? Oh, okay.
Again, I mean. Anything else stuck out for sports? Anything you want to comment? I don't want to talk about sports too much because it wasn't the biggest part of 2020. Like it was kind of put on the back burner, but I thought it was pretty interesting to see, like even watching these Raptors players in like their bubble recap, they're just like out on the golf course learning to golf or like just seeing all the protocol. Like Matisse put out that whole YouTube series and like he's getting shout outs by Casey Neistat. So it's just kind of cool to see the stuff that came out of the bubble.
Yeah, no, and I feel like giving props to certain other organizations that when you say bubble now, I in COVID sports, I always think UFC now. They're kind of the ones that kicked it all off, kind of made it. They were the first ones to really like kind of start this whole thing. Like they didn't let it affect them. They were just like, yeah, this sucks. We're going to like find a lot of ways around this, but we're going to do it. And they did it. And then a lot of other organizations kind of took the ball and went off with it too. You see the NBA bubble, you see the NHL bubble. Now you're even seeing the World Juniors in a bubble. So I think this is just something we're going to have to get used to now, but I think it's a cool way of getting around it and making it feel kind of normal now too, which is cool.
Yeah. And I think the World Juniors did a pretty good job of making it seem like fans were in the stands. Like it seemed decent, but like the Team Canada needed some fans in the stands last night in the third period to cheer them on. Like it was in Edmonton. I think I don't want to be one of those excuses guys too, because it would have been the same if we're in the States and for the States, if they were down at home. But I just think like those fans in the stands trying to fire up the team, even in the first period when they started getting berated, like get one bit of momentum and the fans are on your side again. That totally changes the game. So I can't wait till fans are allowed back in the stands so we can kind of get some a bit of normal back there, because the Toronto fans, whatever team it be, are awesome. And we know we always have that advantage, even when it's not in Toronto. Like some Blue Jays fans, a lot of Raptors fans. It's crazy. Yeah, they traveled. So, yeah, sports was crazy in 2020, but definitely kept me sane during some of those months during the summer when there wasn't a lot going on. When we got sports playoffs back, definitely helped a lot.
No, absolutely.
Let's move on to media a bit. I would say one of the biggest trends, and I don't know if it was because there was a lot of lonely people at home without like a significant other, but there were a lot of trends even a bit before quarantine, but especially during like shows, especially Netflix shows. Love is Blind, The Circle, Too Hot to Handle was out there. Like that was a massive trend, eh?
Yeah, that was huge, and it capped off and it made a lot of people fucking famous. I mean, I see that guy in The Circle on Instagram a lot now, the Joey guy. I see the guy who's like kept making out with a bunch of people on Too Hot to Handle. That guy's made a career off this. And yeah, no, there's so many spinoffs of it now too. If you go on Netflix, they have a whole dating site section dedicated. There's the Circle Japan. There's the Circle Australia. There's Love is Blind Japan. Love is Blind Australia now.
Yeah.
UK's got their own shit now, too. No, it's crazy.
That hairy guy is pretty big. They call it like the clout farming. I was watching, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but they're like, yeah, everyone just clout farms. Like two semi-famous people get together and just try to become more famous, which is a hilarious term, I thought.
And then they break up and then they become even more famous through it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't even care. So it all works out for them.
Insane cycle.
Yeah. Can you believe that both Tiger King and The Last Dance came out in 2020?
Yeah, no, I was talking about this the other day too. I swear to God, Tiger King came out like 6 years ago. It is bizarre. I wasn't even a big fan of it, but like it was such an iconic moment of, I feel it, when you think of quarantine, you have to kind of think of Tiger King now. It was crazy. A phenomenon. Like it was a cultural phenomenon.
Would it be that famous if everyone was stuck inside? Like I bet you if we watched it over again, it was a crazy fuck story. But there's a ton of crazy fuck documentaries out there that are probably 10 times better. Like my sister loves documentaries. Maria loves documentaries and they recommend them to me all the time. But I just don't get around to watching them. Like just because, I don't this know, like just... other, I'd rather watch other things, but because I had a ton of time at the beginning of quarantine and everyone else was watching it, you felt obliged to.
It felt like something you talk, it's like the water cooler conversation topic, but like this was the water cooler.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
No one was like, everyone saw this or at least knows of it. Everyone knows Joe Exotic now and he's still in the headlines almost. It's so weird.
It is crazy.
So, yeah.
A bit before quarantine, we'll take a step back. February 9th. Do you know what happened on February 9th of 2020? I hope the date's right.
The Oscars.
How'd you know? That's a pretty good guess. Is it because it's in the notes?
It's in the notes, but it's also the biggest one show in February. Yeah. It's
exactly,
the biggest thing in February,
exactly.
Probably.
I mean, I did say media too. Good guess. But that was when Parasite, I still remember I was at work. We were doing an Oscar pool there and I picked Parasite and it pretty much swept. Still didn't win the pool. Pretty mad about that. Mm-hmm. But that was a big day too. Like international film. That was a crazy movie. That was this year as well. Crazy.
I know that's the weirdest thing is that was also, I watched that this year. So like, I remember why I watched it with a group of friends. That's the weirdest part of all this. Like it was before all this stuff. Like we knew it was before we had to be in a bubble to do this.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and it was, fuck man. That's actually weird. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Think about how many times you go on TikTok today. Like that pretty much just took over in 2020 and almost got banned in 2020 by Trump. So that's kind of funny to think about. You went through all of that motion of TikTok became craze, like the biggest craze. It almost got banned and now it's just like business as usual.
I think that added to the hype more. Everyone was like, I got to get on this thing before it leaves. It's like, it was almost like when everyone was like, oh, Flappy Bird's leaving. If you told me that was in 2020, I'd almost believe that at this point too. But I feel like everyone just kind of jumped on it. It almost made it bigger. That was like such a taboo thing. It turned out to be. And now I don't know if it's dying, but it's fucking never going away. I don't think.
And then the other social media trend, which like, I feel like I got into TikTok late and I know this was on TikTok a lot as well. Twitter, but like everything was cake in 2020 as well. That was such a trend. And I didn't even want to write this because I don't think it's that funny to talk about, but literally every site I looked at trying to like figure out the biggest trends of 2020, and obviously I missed a ton. Like we can't talk about every single trend in 2020.
There's too many.
We picked some random ones and that one was like that stuck around for way too long.
Yeah, cake kind of reminded me, maybe not on the same scale, but reminded me of the dress color. Like everyone was trying to fucking I feel like that's a good example, but like it was just so stupid, but everyone bought in almost. Everyone was just kind of like, it was like people sent those videos to everyone. Like there was like a big meme for a while. So that's just another weird trend. Yeah. Fuck.
All right. And then I know we're buzzing through these quickly, but really we want to get to our awards and talk about what we loved most in 2020 rather than just recapping what happened. I think we would be in the wrong if we didn't talk about some of the sadder things, because 2020 definitely isn't a year that people are going to look back on and say it's like known for its happiness. I think we'll start off with a lot of the people who we lost in 2020. I'm just going to say them. I'll say a couple things. You say a couple things, then we'll move on and let it be and leave it in 2020, as sad as it is. The year we knew it was not going to be a good year. January 26th, we started off. We lost Kobe. We lost Chadwick. We lost Van Halen. We lost Trebek, to name a few. A lot of just like insanely influential people. And I know it happens every year, and maybe it was exaggerated this year because of all the negativity in the world, but it just seemed like a lot of such influential people passed. Like Kobe is like, I couldn't even believe it. I think that's the biggest kind of celebrity death that's happened in that I remember in our lifetime.
Yeah. That's definitely one that kind of you and like, I'm not even like a, like I always pick the Lakers, but I'm not like a Laker fan or anything, but that one hit the hardest, I think, in a really long time. I think for me personally, it was weird. I just didn't even believe it. Like, I remember seeing headlines and I was like, there's no way TMZ got it wrong again.
Yeah.
And then and then we learned everything, and it was such a sad time too. And it was just a terrible way of sort of kicking all this off this weird year that we've had.
Yeah. Just like when we were kids, and like still you throw a piece of garbage at the recycling bin and you're saying Kobe like that. Yeah. And he's just, yeah, you just went too early. So that's obviously so sad, as well as Trebek and some of those other names I listed, all very sad. We had all of the Australian, like California fires was a big thing that kind of got pushed under the rug because of everything that was happening.
Feel like this year.
Yeah. Insanely sad as well. And then we had obviously the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't think me and you are ones who should be talking about this and preaching about this, but I think if we didn't mention it, we'd definitely be in the wrong. This is a massive movement
for sure.
In 2020. Something that you can look back on, as obviously it started with such negativity, with the passing of obviously of George Floyd, which could have been listed with all of those people that I listed before. He was easily probably the most influential out of all those figures, albeit he was not famous before. He definitely will be for years to come. I think for me, when I look back on it, I think, holy shit, this kind of, when I first was thinking, I was like, holy shit, this kind of sucks that it happened during a pandemic. People are limited in going out to protest. Their peaceful protests may be different. Like, although they still got out there, they wore masks, they were safe. I thought maybe we could have done more as a society if it was normal times. But then I was literally just thinking this morning in the shower, because I was like, I got to frame this kind of nicely when I'm talking about it on the podcast. And I was like, I think it was honestly, from my perspective, to have like this like society, this social justice movement and human rights movement was perfect, because this is the exact time where people had a microscope on everything. Like we said, for the same reasoning, people watched Tiger King, because you were stuck inside and anything that happened, you were noticing. And I think it was the perfect time to have this. Like, everyone took notice. People tried to do whatever they could for the most part to kind of make this a positive out of this horrific accident. And I really do hope that obviously anyone who was affected by the tragedy that happened, that they came out of 2020 feeling that as a society, we went somewhere positive rather than negative. I hope we do. And I know definitely going forward, it's that moment, although it doesn't directly affect me, it's definitely something that I'll remember forever. And that it was during a pandemic is just one extra thing to make me remember it even more. I know I kind of rambled on there, but I felt like we wanted to kind of talk on that, because it was probably, other than COVID, the biggest topic of 2020, probably the most important one. I don't know if you want to say a couple things, but I just wanted to give that a quick comment.
You gave a good synopsis of kind of all of it. It was definitely at first just very frustrating, kind of how politicized a basic human right movement kind of went. And it really sucked to kind of see it go that way. But yeah, like you said, hopefully it can just move to a better part of 2021 now and just be more about positivity than all this stuff that's gone down. And hopefully a lot of change comes from it.
Exactly. Well put. So we talked about that movement. And then obviously the biggest part of 2020 is COVID. That affected everyone. Definitely something that I don't want to talk about very much, but that I guess it initially happened on January 9th was the first strain. Obviously we locked down in March. People stockpiled on toilet paper and Lysol, like we're never going to be able to go to the grocery store again. Fair enough though. I understand people were scared. I don't really want to talk about it that much. Do you?
I think we've done enough, I think, throughout these episodes of us just doing this through Zoom. We've kind of always had it lingering in the background. I think it's time we finally try to move on, maybe.
I agree.
I cannot wait for the day we have a guest and we don't have to ask, what have you been doing in quarantine?
Exactly. No, it's so true. It is so true. And we can do it in person as well.
Yes, too. That too.
So I think the only things we should say is thank you to all the frontline workers. Sorry to all of those whose family, friends have been affected or even more sadly passed away from the disease. And cheers to people staying safer, hopefully, in 2021 so we can get out of this. And like you said, no longer having to have these meetings, these podcasts, just work in general or seeing your family on these Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll end it there, as that is our kind of, we went from our sports, our media, and then I kind of titled it as sadness, as the last topic, but just topics that are not the digestible, but, definitely need to be talked about when you're exactly. Recapping 2020. All right. Do you want to move on to the Talk on the Rocks awards?
The first official. Yes,
exactly. First annual. All right, let's get into it. So our 2020 first annual On the Rocks Awards, we have four different categories. We have movies, TV shows, song, and person of the year. This is personal. This is not this is not what the critics are thinking. This is not looking for any pander. This is what got us through 2020. So let's start off with the first category, Jack. I know what we're going to do is first you'll give me your kind of runners up. I'll say my runners up. Then we'll both say our big winner. So you want to start with all movies?
Right. Yeah. I got three on the short list. So here they are. Number one, Palm Springs. I thought it was hilarious. I think it just recently came out. I know Amazon's putting a lot of advertisement into it. I watched it for my movie club, loved it. Next I got Soul. That was just a beautiful Pixar movie. Newest. I hear it's not people's top tier Pixar movie, but I would probably put it in mine. I thought it was amazing. And next is just the one I literally watched like two nights ago. It was The Boys State. Very interesting. I just wanted it real, so now I like it even more. And that was just a wild documentary / movie about this political state of teenagers in Texas. So I would put that in top three.
Okay, so you've got a little recency bias on your picks. I do. A couple of recent ones coming up, but I respect that. We do have a couple matches here. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 backups. I'll cut a couple out though. I'm going to do number one as well. Soul. Great Pixar flick. Great balance of comedy as well as a good plot. Threw that in there. My second one is Trial of the Chicago 7. Although it was a longer movie, really liked it. Ton of great actors. Loved Jeremy Strong. He was hilarious in that. Sacha Baron Cohen. Just very overall good. Great movie with a strong message. I almost wanted to pick that as my number one. So that's a close two. A couple other honorable mentions. I would say those three were probably my favorite. Those two along with the one I picked. The other ones are The Five Bloods, Borat, and The Way Back. Those are kind of the ones that round out my list. So what'd you give number one?
Number one, I have to go Soul.
Yeah, that's your lock.
Soul
it down.
Is my movie. I really like The Boy's State, but I'm scared. I know they're both recent, but in terms of an overall movie that made you feel good and kind of happy, and there was a lot of deep thinking with this movie too. I really liked it, so it kind of made me feel a lot of things, and it came at a good time through the holidays as well. So like I was in a good mood when I was watching it, so maybe that bumps it up a little bit. But yeah, I'm gonna go Soul. I love it.
And it was easily available on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I loved it
right away. So great. I actually didn't list the one I picked. I kept it a secret. I'm gonna pick my favorite movie of 2020 was The King of Staten Island. I found it so hilarious. I don't know. I like Pete Davidson. I thought it was just like, it really, I don't think anyone would be like, hey, that's the movie of 2020. But I remember during some tough times of COVID, we were sitting on the couch and I was laughing almost the whole movie. And I think
it's a really funny movie.
I should have given it a refresher to see if it's really my favorite movie of the year. But yeah, it was that and The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Awesome.
One of those. I'm going to lock in The King of Staten Island. Give Pete
a great pick. I was going to write that on my short list, but Boys State kind of picked it out. But I did really like that movie. It was really funny. Great cast, too. Great. A lot of funny actors in that one.
Yep. Yeah, so lots of movies. I mean, don't think this is necessarily the year of the movies, that's for sure, but you could just see some definitely good, some comedies, some action movies, got a bit of everything. So I'm happy with what we had there. You want to move on to TV?
Sure.
All right. What do you have for TV?
So for TV, I wasn't really too sure. I guess I could just put it into seasons. That's kind of what I did. But for my first one, I have Cobra Kai. Okay. That's a show that didn't really get a lot of relevance until 2020. And then the newest seasons have dropped in 2020. Then I got The Boys season 2. That's just probably one of my favorite shows that I've seen in a really long time. And then third, I got The Last Dance, which was a amazing documentary series that was probably in peak quarantine timing. And I loved probably every episode of it.
Good answers. I have Last Dance on there as well. One of the most captivating documentaries I've ever seen. As well, I don't know if it's because we didn't have anything else to do, but I think regardless,
I would have watched this in 2012.
Exactly.
I would have watched this.
No,
anytime.
It was amazing. So that's my number. That's one of my top ones. I'm going to throw The Wilds on. We talked about it earlier, but that's probably a bit of recency bias, but that was
too.
A really good show. And then this is tough. Okay, so I'm going to throw a couple other ones out there. They're not in my top three, but I had Into the Night and Outer Banks as two kind of Netflix shows that were very good. One season, and they were both like extremely captivating.
Yeah.
Binged them both.
No, I forgot about that show.
Yeah, very good. And then Little Fires Everywhere and Outsider. So Little Fires Everywhere, I think, is on Prime. The Outsider is on Crave or HBO.
Crave.
All good shows. They weren't top tier shows. Like, I wouldn't say they're like the best ever shows, but for what we got in 2020, they're all good shows. So that's kind of my top tier. The first ones I said are probably the better ones. And then I've still got my favorite show in my pocket, but I want to hear yours first.
So, I'm picking mine just off what I purely enjoyed through all this. And I think, Cobra Kai is my number one. Just through it's just I've never watched a show that was so I kind of wish I put The Mandalorian up here. Kind of forgot about that show, but I've never really watched a show where it rewards. I'm a huge fan of old 80s movies and Karate Kid specifically, so I've never seen a show that kind of rewards a viewer from old things so much than this show. And this is, if you love Karate Kid, this is the best show ever, probably. So I would put Cobra Kai as my favorite one.
Nice pick. I've never seen it, but I assume it's always been trending. I assume it's a good show.
It's huge.
But I'm not into those karate shows as much, so I haven't watched it. I am into soccer, though, and that is why I have picked Ted Lasso as my favorite show. Sudeikis. It's actually getting a ton of love now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people on Twitter are getting into it. At the beginning, I feel like it was just this joke show. Like everyone saw the commercials for it and like it was thought it was gonna be shit. But it is like Jason Sudeikis is hilarious in it. It's got so many good characters, and it's got a good plot to go along with some character development. Great show. You gotta give it a watch if you haven't seen it. It's on Apple TV. So if you don't have a subscription, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. But I watched it when I had the free trial. You know what's funny? I also have like some sentimental value to this show because my dad started watching it and he said it was hilarious. So I started watching after the second episode. So I'll admit I got to go back and watch the first episode again. But every episode we'd watch like out in the garage after like on like a Saturday night because that was when there was no sports on. So this show is like, I love this show. I think anyone, any age would like it. So Ted Lasso.
I've been meaning to watch it. So.
I hope it came out in 2020.
No, I think it did. I believe it did. I didn't hear about it until 2020.
I think it counts.
So I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's
well, if we're giving Cobra Kai a pass, we'll give Ted Lasso a pass, even though he probably deserves it more than mine would.
All right.
If we're picking 2021, I would say Queen's Gambit's on its way to being my number one. I just haven't finished it, so that's why I haven't given it the
Queen's Gambit proper. Is 2020, though.
It's like it 2020, but technically, yes, but I just haven't finished it. That's why I'm not giving it the number one.
You didn't watch
it. But I do love it. If I finish the full thing and it stays on the same trajectory, it would probably be my favorite show of the year, but I just haven't finished it.
All right. We got some good shows to keep us busy during the year. What about music? Do you have a list of songs that you picked for 2020?
I had songs and albums. I was unaware. But I got songs, I got albums, I got whatever you need.
Okay, I just did songs. So how about you give your albums first and say your winner, and then we'll get into songs after.
All right, so for albums, I have 420 by Mike Dean. Was a weird passion project that he dropped earlier in the year. Really liked it. A lot of atmospheric music, kind of all this. It's no lyrics in it, but the whole thing is just instrumentals. It's really cool. Next, I got Alfredo, Freddie Gibbs. Probably one of the best rap albums to drop in a really long time. Then I got Amine's Limbo, which was, if this was not a pandemic summer, it would have been, I think, way bigger.
Yeah,
a lot of good anthems on that, but not a lot of people to enjoy it with. Then I got the new Bob Dylan album, which I really, really weirdly liked. I thought it was, I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan, but this album came out and I thought it was really interesting. Like, he tells stories through it all. It's very odd the way it's put together. It's like singing it. It's just, I don't know. It's like him telling a story. It's Rough and Rowdy Ways is what it's called. Really good though. But I would probably give it to Limbo, my album of the year.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't do albums. I definitely know which album I would pick, which I think I can segue into my songs first. I'm just going to say the song that won because you've given me the perfect segue. So there's two songs that I kind of really like, but they're not my favorite. I like Chicago Freestyle by Drake, and I like 2016 by Sam Hunt. Not a ton of songs that came out in 2020. I listened to a lot of old songs this year. I found a lot of my music. I was hanging out with kind of an older crowd, my family, sometimes my neighbors, if we were allowed to. So I listened to a lot of old songs, but those two were the two that came out in 2020 that stuck out to me. And then my favorite album that I listened to a ton was the latest R. Kelly's album. So the song that stuck out for me was Quitting You. Not necessary. I wouldn't even say it's the R. Kelly's best music that they've put out. Like, it's not, usually the R. Kelly's have a ton of like hype around it, but I just found that this was nice, chill music that they dropped. It's called Campfire Chords, and that's a perfect name for it. So whenever I was on the golf course, just kind of working at home, throw that on. Quitting You, great song. Probably my favorite song of 2020.
All right. Yeah. My
my songs of 2020, my number one, well, that I have listed, Woodlawn, Aminé, Try Jesus, Toby Nwigwe, great song, and then Weed Man, Chanel Trey.
I see. So and a couple I think from, I would give one from your album.
A lot of hot rap tunes. I would say Try Jesus, number one. I think I listened to that the most. I don't know. This just song caught me out of nowhere, and I've just been listening to it a lot, weirdly. Not even religious, but it's just funny. Very funny song.
I like it. I guess there was a lot of music listened to in 2020, but definitely not as much as we thought. Like, for example, like, as you know, I'm a big Drake fan. He probably would have dropped an album during the summer, but I have a feeling, and we can talk about this on a different pod, but I think he's just going to wait till people can start getting out again, because, you know, it's not going to be the best time to drop an album. So I'm curious if it'll wait or what.
It's confirmed this month.
Well, that's what I thought, but you never know, right?
You never know, but I'm pretty sure a lot of outlets have confirmed.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
I think he might even have confirmed it as well. That it's January. Yeah,
we'll see, you know that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Exactly, especially with a lot of top tier rappers these days and artists these days, they don't really catch up on their dates that well, but. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, let's go to our last category of the 2020 On the Rocks Awards. Our person of 2020, our top people of 2020. I kept this towards celebrities. I don't know about you. I would pick my mom and my dad and my sister if I could, or the frontline workers. I would pick like Joe Biden, George Floyd, Fauci, but we did this personally. So who was your personal people that helped you get through 2020?
That is the perfect way to describe it. People have helped me get through this. My number one, Jon Favreau, director of producer, has directed a few episodes of The Mandalorian. Pretty much reworked my interest into this whole universe of Star Wars and is put on a lot of episodes and media towards the upcoming years now, and has really helped 2020 with his new shows and his work on the Marvel series as well. Next, I got Dave Chappelle, who, awesome, if I was running time, would be my time person every year. Probably my favorite celebrity, but has done a lot in 2020, I feel, with his work through appearing on podcasts, through SNLs, and his levitating series that he dropped on YouTube. Then next I got Adam Silver, who put on the bubble NBA playoffs, probably the most fun I've had watching basketball in a really long time.
Good answer. I like that one.
So I got him up there. Mm-hmm. He got me through 2020, man.
So who's your winner on top? I mean,
So
mine are totally off the board. Like, yeah, they're not even close to yours. So the first person, Jeff D. Lowe. He created The Dozen. He works for, obviously, Jeff D. Lowe. Well, most of you probably don't know, but he works for Barstool. He does like a movie podcast for them. And as well, he created The Dozen, which is like this crazy good trivia show, so check it out on YouTube. Really funny personalities on there.
Very good.
And it's just really good trivia, and as nerdy as it is, like, our friend group started our own trivia because of that, and every Tuesday since we started that, I'm happy that it's Tuesday, because we get to do our trivia, have a couple drinks with the friends and get some laughs and actually learn a few things. So that was definitely one of the ones in my top three. I almost put Dave Portnoy. As much as people would hate that answer, thought it was good because of the Barstool Fund. Doing great. Like, I think I just saw on Twitter it's up 20 million. And I just like the guy. I don't agree with everything. For example, like, he has this fund, but he keeps talking about how he's like in these Miami nightclubs. So I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know. So I didn't include him in my top three, but Dave has definitely helped me get through. I've been consuming a lot of Barstool. My favorite podcast is Spit and Chicklets. So I think as a whole, he's had a big factor on 2020, because I've been watching so much more YouTube. Gordon Ramsay. He's inspired us to cook a bit more. I've been watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen. And he's just a funny guy and seems like a genuinely nice guy. He's on TikTok. He's everywhere. Gordon Ramsay. His
TikToks are bizarre.
Inspired to be him. His daughter is like massive on TikTok.
Really?
I know. Yeah, I think so. I think that's why he's always on.
Gordette?
I forget her name. It's a different name. It's not a traditional name, if I remember correctly. And then my last one is two people. It is Tiger and Charlie Woods. Really weird. And it's kind of a stretch, but like, I feel like seeing like Tiger and Charlie out there, it was like, it gave me this epiphany because like golf was dead. Before the pandemic, there were no young people golfing, hardly any, at least around here. And like my friends, now pretty much all of our friends are golfing if they can, and if they have a set of clubs, they're getting out a couple times and they're enjoying it. Golf was big to me and got me through the pandemic. With my dad, we got out every Saturday and my neighbors. And then just seeing like a little Tiger out there and like, who knows if there'll ever be another Tiger Woods again, but that kid was good. And I'd love to like grow up and see like this kid progress. If he actually is even like half or three quarters of the golfer his dad is. So just seeing that tournament that they played together gave me this big epiphany. And it was like, how golf got me through, like it made me happy during this crazy time. So that was my third suggestion for person of the year. I'll just go out and say my winner though. I think the third one I said is a bit of a stretch. It's more of like a theme rather than a person. So yeah. I won't go with that. I think I'm going to go with Jeff D. Lowe.
Oh my God.
Because he created trivia. And
I think the trivia, you're right.
He had created that trivia thing that like created so many as soon as the winter hit, and it was just so fun. Yeah. But I really want to go with Gordon, so I'm on the fence here, but I'm gonna go with Jeff D. Lowe as the person who got me through 2020.
All right.
How about you?
I am pulling you from earlier, and I'm saying someone I didn't list.
Okay.
My person is David Letterman.
Okay, I like it. Why is that?
I loved his new series, and I get a cheat. Chappelle was on one of his episodes, so I'm claiming him now too. No, I just love the show. I love his episodes. I love his Netflix series. I just thought they were so heartwarming, and he even found a way to do it through this kind of pandemic. So he just brought so much entertainment to a weird time. If you haven't seen his show on Netflix, I would 100% check that out. I could have put that in my top shows of the year, but I don't know. That kind of, a lot of it came out in past year, so I didn't include it. But I loved it, though. He thought he was just really funny. He's done a lot of good so far, it seems. So, yeah, David Letterman.
All right. So we gave out our four major awards for the 2020 On the Rocks awards ceremony. Do you have any final parting words for our 2020 podcast before we leave it in the dust?
No, I just want to leave it.
Exactly. I hope you guys enjoyed our recap. We went through the highs and the lows of 2020. We gave out some non-traditional awards that really got us through 2020. And I think, Jack, until we have to, let's make a bit of a promise to each other that we're going to stop bringing up COVID. We're going to leave it in 2020. And until we have an episode where we really have to talk about it, we're just going to talk about the positive parts. Sounds good?
When COVID-20 comes out, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take it easy. Peace.